and welcome back to Talking Tom. My friend, I'm coming to your dinner, husband. Our daf of the day, Masachet Bava Kama, daf Samach Hey, page 65. Towards the top of the daf, we have an interesting discussion. Gufa, the Gemara is coming back to whatever it had been talking about before. That's what Gufa really just means, the thing itself. Amar Rav. Rav says, Karen Ke'ein Shaganav, Teshlumei Kefil V'Teshlumei Arba V'Chimisha Kishat Amada Badin. When the thief is going to pay the value of the thing that he stole, so he has to pay back the principal. This is assuming that he doesn't just have the item itself to return, right? If he could just return that, you steal a samovar and you can just hand back the samovar, you're good. But if you have to pay the value of it instead, because somehow it's been, again, sold or stolen or, you know, just used up in some capacity, right? Let's say it's not a samovar, but it's, you know, you stole it, I don't know, Hershey Kisses and they're gone. So he's going to pay the principal according to the value of the item at the time that he stole it, meaning whatever it was actually valued at that time. We know that there's some amount of time that has passed because, you know, there's been the time of the accusation and there's bringing of a court case and so on, and things can fluctuate in value, which is one of the most challenging things about any of this. Because then what happens is the kefel, meaning the double payment, and also, or also, the payment of 4 or 5, right? This penalty kind of payment is paid according kisha'ata amada bedin. It's calculated according to the value at the time of the trial, right? Whatever time that was when the assessment is made and he's being obligated to pay it, he pays the knas, the fine, according to the later date. Now, the tricky part of that is that once you've got fluctuating values, if you think commodities where things can fluctuate very quickly, then you end up with you could end up paying kefel, right? You're paying literally double the amount of the same thing, except for the value that you're paying could be dramatically different, either higher or lower, which is an interesting conundrum. So that's where this is Rav's statement. This is where we're coming from. My Tama de Rav. So what's the rationale and the source for this ruling of Rav? Meaning what's going on here? Amar Kra. So the Gemara brings a verse, which you'll recognize because it's fun. It's a verse we spent a good amount of time with in Shemot, chapter 22, verse 3, right, where it says Geneva. Now, again, we're talking about if the item that was stolen is found in the possession of this person and is found alive, which we talked about, that says Chaim, whether it's an ox or a donkey or a sheep, we've talked about this as well, he will pay double. Now, the Geneva, right, Amar Kra, Geneva, V'chaim. So we're told it's a theft and the thing is alive. Amai ka'amai rachmana chayim b'gneva. Why is the merciful one? Why is rachmana? Why is God saying alive, chayim, in the context of the theft? Meaning, aren't we more focused on the fact that it's an incidence of theft and not whether the item stolen, which in this case is an animal, why would we be focusing on the fact that it's alive? So the Gemara says here that whole juxtaposition, the fact of the two of these terms together, so it teaches that when you make that payment, you teach it, that you revive it, you bring it back to life in the way that as if it, to the extent of the payment at the time that it was stolen. You're bringing it back to its own value that it may have passed, or honestly, it could have gone up. Amar Rav Sheshet, Amina, so Rav Sheshet says, I say, Hinayim v'shachiv, that when Rav was sleepy and lying down to rest, Amar lahashmaita, that's when he said this halacha. So meaning, and we've seen this kind of sharp comment from Rav Sheshet before, and we've seen a couple of comments now about Rav as well, where the point is that he's saying this is careless. Like, what are you saying, Rav? Your contradiction, we're going to see in a moment, you're contradicting a breita. You were lying down on the job or falling down on the job, whatever the proper idiom is. That's what Rav Sheshet is saying about Rav's position. Because there's a breita that says explicitly that when an animal was stolen, let's say it was stolen when it was lean, and the thief then fattens it up, right? So now he's got to pay the double payment or the 4 and 5 payment, whatever, according to the value of the animal at the time that he stole it. But the point is that it's at the time you started with the inch ganav at the time that he stole it. Because what happens then if you get, like, I'm going to say capital gains, right? Like the thief invests, so to speak, in his stolen property, and he makes that stolen animal, you know, a better purchase down the road. Where does that money come from? Does it go back to the original owner? But the original owner wasn't worth that at the time that, right? It's not just a matter of fluctuating commodities, according to this point by Rav Sheshet, right? Or the Brita, really. The point is that the animal itself could be improved. And then you have Shevach. You have an improvement in what's going on here. And why should the thief pay back, you know, including the amount that he has already improved going on here? Emri, so the Chazal, the sages, they say, Mishum de Amar Le, Ana Petemna Va'at Shaklat. Right? So this Breita doesn't really cancel out Rav's opinion, because it's easy enough that the thief could say to the owner of the animal, you know, I did this fattening up. And so, you know, take away that value. You can do the math to accommodate the improvement that the thief did. And then, you know, Rav would just say, okay, so you'll take away that value, but it would still be assessed as either the time of the theft or at the time of the judgment. Okay, the Gemara goes on. It's got another breita that seems to contradict Rav, right? But we're going to stop here. I'm going to hand it over to you, Yardina. I do find this whole topic very fascinating.
Well, Rav's opinion really makes logical sense. Like, these are things that the value will fluctuate for. So how do you account for that, you know, when you sell it, when you need to give restitution for it?
I guess. I think that I think Rav's position is difficult. And I think that's why the Gemara jumps all over it. Because to say that the thing changes in value, depending on what it is, could really truly be an issue.
But that's really true with animals. I would say that's, like, less so with, like, a couch or a piece of jewelry, right? Like, you get it appraised, it has a value. Yes, like, gold, silver, things like that fluctuate, but like things like that really do fluctuate.
I guess this might also be back to the topic that we keep repeating ourselves on, that I don't know enough about what it means to have a merchant kind of farm where you're selling animals and they change in value.
That's
meaning
fair. I
understand that they change.
I don't know what that means either. So I can't speak to that. So I think you're more skeptical of it, and to me it makes more sense. Okay, I'm going to move on to another sort of interesting, you know, type of scenario that they have here, and this is on Amud Bet, where it says Amar Rabbi Ila, right? So Rabbi Ila says Ganat Tala Benaseh Ayel Egel Benaseh Shor Naseh Shinui Biado Kanao. So the case here is that if somebody steals a lamb and then, while he has the stolen lamb, it matures into a ram, or a calf, and it matures into an ox, it underwent a physical change while in his possession, and therefore he actually acquires it. So in other words, if a thief steals something and then it undergoes some type of significant change, that stolen property actually becomes his, and he doesn't have to return the stolen item itself, but he can just give money for what it is that he actually stole, which is very interesting. Then it goes on. So in other words, what that would mean is that you would give money for a lamb or for a calf, but not for a ram or an ox. It goes on to say, Tabachu Machar, let's say he then slaughters or sell one of those things. Remember, that's what you're supposed to, you know, what you would do the fourfold or fivefold payment on. Shelo hu tovea, right? He doesn't have to pay the fourfold or fivefold payment, because it was his animal that he slaughtered, shelogu mocher, or was his animal that he sold. Now, again, I think, like what you said, Anne, before, like, you know, this is a position that seems to be, how could this make sense, right? Like, it's almost in a way like the thief makes out well in the end, right? He benefits from having held on to the animal for so long. So the Gemara is going to object with this. Itve Rabbi Hanina le Rabbi Ila. So Rabbi Hanina challenged Rabbi Ila, and he quotes a brisa. Right? So again, it's the same case. You steal a lamb, it becomes a ram. You steal a calf, it becomes an ox. So it says you pay the twofold or the four or fivefold according to the animal's value when he stole it. Okay, so this would basically be saying that you do make twofold, fourfold, or fivefold payments, right, at the value of the animal at the original theft. So first of all, this seems to contradict what Rav said, that the payments are made according to the value at the time that the thief is actually in court. Okay, so that's the first thing here. The e salkadate, so right, so it goes on to say, if you want, you could say kane bishune. Now, if it would enter your mind to say that the thief acquired the animal via the change, am I mishelim? Why does he pay fourfold or fivefold altogether? Shalohu tovach. It's his animal if he slaughtered. Shalohu mocher. It's his animal that he's selling. So this price actually contradicts Rav, and it contradicts Rabbi Ila. But they're only going to deal with Rabbi Ila here. Amar le, so Rabbi Ila says back to him, Be'elamai, then what do you say? Shinui lo kana? Change, it doesn't, isn't a way that the thief could acquire it? Amai mishalim ke'en sheganav. Then why does the Braisa say that the thief pays according to the value of what he stole? L'shalem ki hashta. If anything, if he didn't acquire it, then he should pay the value of the animal now. So he should pay the value of a ram or the value of an ox. So Rabbi Hanina goes back and says, Amar le, ki hashta hanu tama delo mishalim. The reason he doesn't pay it according to the value of the animal now, mishum to Amar le, because the thief can say, Torah gabni mimech, did I steal an ox from you? Dichar gabni mimech, did I steal a ram from you? In other words, he could basically just, he essentially could say that, yes, it's not that it doesn't constitute, it doesn't constitute a change that frees the thief from any type of liability, right? But he basically could also, the thief could basically say, you know, did I, that's not what I stole from you. So Rabbi Elaz says back, Amar le, Rahmana nitzlam ehadate. Right? So he says, okay, this is totally, totally illogical, right? So he's saying that if that change in the animal is enough to say that it's different, it's so distinct from what was originally stolen, then at the same way, right, it should be considered significant enough that the thief, right, could also be seen as having acquired the animal and not actually be chayav if he slaughters or sells it, right? So he's sort of saying this understanding of what Rabbi Hanin says, where he says, like, well, the guy could just come back and say, I didn't steal an ox, so I don't have to pay anything, really just doesn't logically make sense. So Rabbi Hanina comes back and says, Amar le adarabba, right? On the contrary, Rahmana nitzla midate didach. He says, no, I find that yours is totally, your line of reasoning is, you know, it doesn't make sense, it's not logical. He thinks that an animal can be considered change, right? And that there wouldn't be a fourfold or fivefold, you know, payment that you would have to make, but not changed enough that you actually own it. And I think it's interesting, this exchange, because it's really just like each one just doesn't buy into the other person's line of reasoning. The Gemara is going to go on from here. I'll just read a little bit more. Matkif love Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira objected to this. V'niknulu b'shinui Hashem. Right? Does the thief really acquire the animal because it has a change in its name, right? Because it goes from being a lamb to a ram, or it goes from being a calf to a shore. And so the Gemara says, Amar Rav, shor ben yomo karui shor. So he says, an ox, even on the day it's born, is called an ox. Ayil ben yomo karui ayil. And a ram, even on the day it's born, is called a ram. So the idea here is that even though the terms ram and ox can legally mean only to a mature ram or ox, the truth is that it can still, when they're young, you still would refer it to that. So it's not that the language is what's changing it. And then Rava basically brings the support for this. Shor ben yomo karuri shor, dichtiv shor okesev o'ez ki avlad, right? Where here there's a pasuk in Vayikra chapter 22, verse 27, where it's talking about an ox, a lamb, or a goat on the day it's born. Ayil ben yomo karuri lo. And then where does he know that a ram on the day that's born is also? So here he quotes a pasuk from Bereshi, chapter 31, verse 38. This is, you know, when Yaakov was working for his father-in-law for Lavan. So it comes, this is the part here where it says, and he says, the rams of your flock I did not eat. Now, could you say it's only rams that Jacob didn't eat, but lambs he did eat? Ella Labshma Mina Ayil Ben Yomo Karui Ayil. Rather, you must say that when he says a ram on the day it's born, is it not called a ram? In other words, can't be that the ram means just a mature animal and not the baby animal. No, it's saying rams in general, all rams, young, old, he did not eat. So I think this throws in a totally different thing with this idea of theft, right? If something changes to the object, either the value changes or the object itself changes, and we're talking specifically about animals in these cases, right? How does it impact the payment?
Right. And the fact, the different possibilities there, you know, you could spend a long time figuring them out, parsing them out, and so on.
Right. And I see Rabbi Ila and Rabbi Hanina. I think both of them have a logical way to explain this that works for their thinking.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Diamond Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn. Thank you.